Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Andrea Ruckelman, and today's episode is Overcome Your Fears and Insecurities. Now go for it. As I said, my name is Andrea Ruckelman. I am the founder of New Perspectives Communications. I decided to start this company after years of witnessing the effects of reactive business cultures that result in abusive, retaliatory behavior. I work with companies to help transform their reactive culture into a responsive one where leaders inspire, employees grow, and profitability increases. I not only partner with companies, but also with individuals who want a new perspective on how they can communicate with others as well as themselves. On a side note, I am an avid runner. I love snowboarding. I'm slowly progressing at being a golfer, and pretty much am willing to take on almost any physical challenge. Keyword, almost. And I'd like to also introduce my co-host today, Barbara Hetzel. She's the owner and founder of Ridgetop Coaching, a life and leadership coaching firm that engages leaders and teams in developing and expanding their gifts and talents for the world. No matter where you find yourself in life or work, communicating dynamically, inspiring and influencing others, and enjoying yourself is within your reach. As an accomplished professional in the field of training and organizational development, she has over 25 years of experience helping others discover and embrace their true calling. My other fabulous coach that is on the line with us today is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach and CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching. As a former homeschool mom, devoted warrior wife, faithful friend and small business owner, and most recently a new nester, which I can't wait to find out what a new nester really is, she has walked through this life one step at a time. Leanne understands the challenges, fears, and insecurities that each one of us can face as we journey through the many seasons of life. As a life empowerment coach, Leanne has a desire to stand shoulder to shoulder with you as you boldly let go of all the obstacles that hold you back from fully embracing the life you were created to live. So I want to tell you about today's show that we're all going to talk about. Now it's time to go for it. Learn how to reinvent yourself and live your life purpose without hesitation. Join us as we discuss the keys to overcoming your fears and insecurities as it relates to making that career jump. Now, before I talk to my co-hosts here, I'd like to invite you all to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you either about what you would love to do but feel you're being held back from achieving it, or if you have a story that you would like to share with us about how you made the change in your career and what steps you took. So please give us a call at 646-716-9397, or you could also reach us through the chat room where you can provide any comments, you could ask questions, share your experiences as well. We'll read them on the air for everyone so they could benefit from things you have to say. So that's either in the chat room or give us a call at 646-716-9397. And now I'd like to talk to my fabulous, fabulous life coaches that are on this call with us today. First, I want to turn over to Leanne. And Leanne, with this topic that we've decided that we're going to cover today, what are your thoughts and what have you experienced as it relates to this?
Great question. Thank you, Andrea. And I am very excited to be with you all today. You know, as I think through fear and insecurities, there's a lot of things that come up for me. And when I look at the different people that I've had the privilege of working with and chatting with over the years, there seems to be a couple of things that stand out, you know, kind of like with an exclamation point on them when it comes to fear and insecurity. And a lot of that has to do with fear of the unknown. And that whole idea of, oh my goodness, if I step out onto this road, what am I going to encounter? The insecurity of feeling like, wow, can I really do this? Do I have what it takes? Am I enough? Do I have what it takes to bring everything to the table and play full out? And I think there are a lot of us who feel like we don't have the support, encouragement, knowledge, all those funny things that come into play that can hold us back.
Wow, you are absolutely very thought-provoking on that, and I see how it can really resonate with people on how true it is, and I'm glad to have you as part of this conversation today. Barbara, why don't you share with us some of your experience and what you think about how this topic is effective in the lives of those around you?
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I think that there's a lot of ways that people project their fears and insecurities out into other arenas. And I think sometimes when that happens, and the people that I've worked with, somehow they think it's somebody, something or somebody outside of them that is preventing them from making their next move. And so in some ways, it's easier for an individual not to take a leap into a new career or go for that promotion or even create some kind of adventure in their current career because they're afraid, their fears and insecurities about who is going to block them stops them from even attempting to do it. So I think that there's a piece of that. I also think that there's a way that people sometimes can't see the forest for the trees, for just to create a little metaphor around it. They just see this great big mass of forest in front of them, and they can't even look down far enough to see that there is a path that they can at least begin with a first step toward whatever it is that their goal is or whatever it is that they're looking for. So I think that those are some things that come to my mind when I think about the people that I have worked with and how their fears and insecurities hold them back from what they really want to do.
And why is this something for you, Barbara, that made you really decide to jump into this as your coaching practice? Because you hit the nail on the head with a lot of suggestions that you made through your statement of how people look at others as the ones holding them back or they can't see the forest through the trees. And it's something that I believe you're right on with. And so what was it about that inspired you to start your business and focus on this?
Well, I think, that's a great question, Andrea. I think that that's kind of why I have the title that I have for my company, which is Rich Top Coaching, which is a way that, once you reach the heights, if you can keep your eyes on what your goal is, the view can be incredible. And I think what happened for me personally is that I was able to, I was always very confident in my abilities and knew that I could do something and that I could help other people for them to find their own sense of calling in whatever kind of position or career that they were in. But, everybody has, kind of like, oh, can I really do this? And part of it is you just have to be willing to take a risk and say, gather your support behind you, the people that are, kind of going to be your champions, and pay more attention to them than the people that are the naysayers. And I think that is really something that can propel anybody into taking that first step. And I think it's understanding that it's a first step. It's not like you're going to expect to be, at the height of your game, out of the starting gate, although that does happen for some people. But I think for most people that are trying to start something new, they just have to think about it in terms of what's their next first step.
I think that's great, and I also loved how you said the view from the top is wonderful. And with that, I think that works so well with what Leanne does. And Leanne, when you talk about walking shoulder to shoulder, how do you see something in a situation where someone wants to take that step, but those fears are holding them back? How do you apply your practice by walking shoulder and shoulder and making them walk the talk?
Great question. Thank you, Andrea. When I think of walking shoulder to shoulder with somebody, I think of standing next to them, close enough and intimately enough where you know exactly what's resonating in their heart, their mind, and their spirit. I think about really being a listener and an encouragement and a support to them. Perhaps in their life, they don't have anybody else that they can really truly confide in and be 100% authentic or transparent with them because of the fact maybe they're going to be judged by somebody. Perhaps they have been repeating the same story for many, many years and they don't have a listener anymore that is willing to support them and encourage them to take that next step. Perhaps they have been walking down a road that is the complete wrong path for them and they don't know how to get off of that path and get on the road that's going to provide them with the life that is everything that they dreamed about. And so when I consider walking shoulder to shoulder with somebody, it's really, you know, sometimes it can be taking them by the hand. Sometimes it can be helping them to rebuild the life that they have always dreamed of or that had been shattered right before their very eyes. And so when you stand shoulder to shoulder with somebody, you're willing to gain strength from them and with them. And you're also willing to go places that you never could have gone for on your own because two are better than one.
Wow, that's great. And do you apply this to what you call yourself as a new nester, something new in life? Because I'm really curious, what is a new nester?
Well, you know, I'm all about kind of changing our perspective right now. And I think part of that awareness is realizing that the words that we choose to use really do have an impact about how we view the different seasons in our lives. And so as the Walk Your Talk coach, I started to think about the words that I was using in my life that as I told my story, as I shared my experience, how they would really affect my perspective. And so I became an empty nester 4 years ago when my youngest child went off to college. And I started to think about that word empty nester, and I wasn't real excited about the view that that gave to my life. And I'm really not an empty nester at all. I am a new nester. I'm rediscovering. I am rebuilding and renewing my life purpose beyond life after having children at home. So that's a very small picture of what a new nester means to me.
Well, thank you for that new perspective on what people consider as an empty nester and giving it a new line of calling it a new nester. That really is true. It's really about how you say what it is you want to say and how you view what it is. And I think that is great as it relates to overcoming those fears and insecurities and adding into the now what? What do I do? Or what's preventing me from taking that next step? What is that fear that's holding me back? Why am I insecure about certain aspects of taking those tests? What is it that I am putting in front of myself that is preventing me from reaching everything that I'm meant to be? Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to kick this off with a couple of different topics that we're going to cover today as it relates to getting rid of those fear and insecurities and how it's time to go for it, how you can reinvent yourself. There's something you've always wanted to do in life but have just been afraid to take that step. Do you have the fear of judgment of others? Or is it the fear of success? What happens if this turns out to be great? Are they going to try and knock me down? So let's take a step back and start thinking about the different areas in our lives of what we think is preventing us from taking that next big step to make that career change. One of the things that I thought about the past couple of days is yesterday, Monday morning, I woke up at 6:30 in the morning and I felt fabulous. I felt great. I was excited to get the day started. There was so much for me to accomplish. And I realized that not everybody feels that way. That how many times do you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, I don't feel like going in. I wish I could call out sick. I just want to hit the snooze button for 10 more minutes. This is just not very exciting for me. And I'm curious about when was the last time you folks in our audience woke up excited for what you were about to do? So if you have any of those days that you do recall, please share with them on our chat and let us know the last time and why you haven't been excited since that last time. And I don't want to hear about that you woke up on a Friday, that you were excited, that it's summer hours and you were getting out a half day, or it's Saturday and you were going to do something fun. I'm talking about when you wake up for your career. Are you happy in what you do? The first topic I really want to cover here today is about the person who's not motivated to make a change in their career because they feel stagnant. They are complacent in the role that they are in, but they don't enjoy the people that work for them, or all they do is complain about the managers that they work for. And when you ask them, well, why don't you change what you're doing? And the answer is, well, my only option is to collect unemployment, and that's not going to happen. So it's not up to me to change. I just need the people around me to go away. And so with something like that, which I've heard and seen quite often, that they don't see any options, Barbara, what do you have you experienced in your practice that what is the fear or the insecurity that someone feels they have to stay stagnant? What will help them to think about to get unstuck? And how many steps could they take within a week, within a month, within a few months, that small little that they could see rewarding enough to make that change to go for what they want?
Wow, those are a lot of questions. It's so interesting as I'm listening to you, Andrea, that this person wasn't a client per se, but definitely somebody who sought me out to have a conversation about how unhappy he was in his current job. He liked his job, but he didn't like where he did his job. So he didn't like the company, but he liked what he did, and he was just feeling frustrated with kind of like the corporate environment and, you know, how he felt like it wasn't supportive, and he was becoming more and more miserable. And a couple of things that I, you know, asked him to think about in our short conversation was, you know, what is it that you really want? Like, what are you really wanting from the corporation, the organization, and what are you expecting? And how close are they to each other? You know, if you want something and you expect something and your expectations aren't met, what do you do with that? What's another kind of almost like a sample or a remembrance in your life where that happened, you know, where your expectations weren't met? What did that, you know, propel you to do, if anything? And I think the upside of that is that it began to give him a way to begin to think that he could take an action, no matter how small it might have been, to either change his expectations of the company and the corporation, or to change where he worked. And he began to see that as all of a sudden it was, I do have a choice here. And I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of people, is that they feel like they don't have a choice, that it's the fear, the insecurity that says I'm stuck and I don't have a choice. And being able to, you know, talk to a coach or just talk to a trusted friend or trusted colleague, and when you can begin to shift your thinking around, I really do have a choice here. I choose to stay or I choose to leave, or I choose to stay the way the situation is and how I am in the situation, or I choose to leave the situation because it's becoming unbearable for me. But there is a sense of choice around that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question, because it was so recent for me, that conversation with this gentleman. So I guess that's how I would respond.
And I think that's great, and because it really does come down to a choice. But when you get to a certain point of feeling so stuck, you are at a loss for that choice. And I think you asked one of the best questions you can to someone is, how am I responding to this situation? And if the individual is always focused on the situation as negative, as that they are at a loss, that they can't win, almost being in a victim state of mind, why do they feel that way? And how did they get there? So with your situation that you told me about and shared with our audience, did this individual decide it was their choice, and what did they decide to move forward with?
It's interesting. I think it's, at this point, he's deciding to look for other avenues, look for other places of employment, and he's doing that. It's somewhat because he's a little pissed off about it, to use the vernacular. But you know, we all know that, you know, sometimes when you can get angry about something, that can propel you into action, even though it's not the best. You know, the best way to take an action, I don't think the best way to take an action, but it does help you to move, whether that's, you know, physically move or mentally move. You know, you're in a, there's a different kind of energy when you're angry or you're upset about something, rather than feeling like, you know, oh, woe is me, there's nothing I can do about this. So I'm thinking that for him, that's the forward motion for him, because he feels like he can't change the situation, and he really wants to, rather than change himself in the situation. And he was very clear that he didn't want to do that. And so he at least, you know, was honest, you know, about, you know, what he felt was something that he could handle or not handle or manage or not manage. So that's his choice at this point. That's what he's doing. He's looking for employment someplace else where he can do what he loves to do, but in an environment, an atmosphere that he would find more supportive.
And I think what you hit on something is, instead of beating yourself up and feeling like the victim to the situation, get angry with yourself. That's the first step to take out of that. And anger into action is, if you're angry with yourself that you're allowing yourself to sit in a situation that isn't getting you anywhere, why are you allowing yourself to be there? And those are the first questions you should start asking yourself. Why am I allowing myself to be here? And speaking of allowing myself to be here, time to walk the talk. I don't want to be here anymore. Leanne, why don't you share some of your thoughts on how you would help someone start taking some of this anger that they've gone to the next step in the anger, and how do they put this into action? And how can they take a look at is it the job, the business that they're working in? Is it a total career change that they want? And what steps could they take to walk that talk and start that journey for change?
Thanks, Andrea. You know, I do have some thoughts on this. And the one thing that I have found extremely helpful in working with the folks I've been privileged to work with is offering up an opportunity for them to take a look at their values. So I do something with each one of my folks called a values assessment, and we just look at about 30 to 40 different values, character qualities, different things that they hold dear, and we evaluate those. We rate them on how important they are to them, and then how is it that they're walking those out? How are they living those? Because I think if someone is not willing or able to look at their values and really kind of do a little bit of a self-analysis, then they don't really even know why they're on the path that they're on. Or, like I stated earlier in our call, that are they on a completely wrong path at the beginning? And so if we can stop for a moment, assess our values, see what we really hold dear and what's important to us, then we're able to kind of put that in a category, if you will, of what is it that I want to see during the course of my day, whether it be in my career, my home life, whatever's going on.
You know, I think when you talked about the very first thing, assessing the values, I don't think we as people really think about our values when it comes to our job. You know, we look at, we hear how companies have their values, and we have to exemplify what a company's values are. But is the career choice of where we are really aligned with our individual values. And I think that is great that you start off by rating those, evaluate them, rate them, and rank the importance of them. What do you find is the most common value that people assign to their career?
Great question. You know, the thing that keeps coming up as I'm working with folks is integrity. I think people today are so incredibly frustrated with the lack of integrity and ownership of the position that they hold, whether it be in their company or whatever, that people are real tired of people not walking their talk, saying one thing and doing a completely different one. And so I would say definitely integrity just keeps popping up. It certainly popped up for me in my life, and I love when people are willing to really take a look, a real hard and fast look at what's going on in the world around them. And, you know, certainly in our culture today, we've seen all kinds of different levels of integrity going on. So,
and I think that ties so well to what Barbara was stating before about how it's a choice. What are your values, and how do you align that with your choices? If your integrity is high and it's your choice not to want to be there anymore, and take those steps. You know, what is it that's important to me as an individual? Which is also really great to go into our second topic. And the second topic that I really want to talk about is fear, and who do you fear? Someone once said to me, as I was talking to them about this subject that we're going to have, fear no one. And I found it so very interesting where they said that, because I believe the one person we fear the most is ourselves. And it's not about what anybody else is. It's a fear of how great can you become on your own. And the biggest fear is, what are they going to think of me? And thinking about the outside world, but it's not them that you fear, it's yourself and how great you can be. So if you would continue on that concept there, Leanne, I would love to hear what you think about how this plays out in situations when people create their own obstacles to prevent themselves from going into great places in their life or making that jump from one career into another, whether it be if you're in accounting and you want to go into nursing, or if you are in working in retail and you want to go to corporate America. What is it that can prevent people, and how do we say fear no one, including ourselves?
Great question. Love that question. You know, I've often thought about this topic in the last several months, just from the new experience that I have been allowed to encounter. And what keeps coming up for me is the only one holding me back is me. So listeners, the only one holding you back is you. And I really agree with what Barbara was saying, all about choices. We really don't understand nor believe that we have choices on how we spend our time and our efforts, our treasures, and our energies in the course of our day and in our careers. And we think that there is a certain road that we have to travel because mom or dad told us, our employers told us, a trusted friend. And so we start living in other people's view of our own lives instead of honoring our values and realizing that we have the choices. And so I had an experience where I was out in New York City recently, and I was by myself, and I had an opportunity to go see the city or stay in my hotel room and wait for my seminars to begin. And I woke up that morning and thought, yeah, Leanne, you need to start walking your talk. The only one holding you back is you, and you need to step on that train and just go into the city and experience everything that you want to experience. And, you know, Andrea, I really did. I got on the train. I rode it into the city for almost 50 minutes, and I walked the city for many hours alone and experienced life as a New Yorker for the day. And I did have a choice. I realized that choice. I welcomed it and embraced it for all it was, and I had no idea the amazing experiences that I would be able to have if I chose to do that. You know, when we think of fear, I can go back to the acronym of fear about forget everything and run, F-E-A-R, or we can embrace fear and look at it as face everything and rise. And we, each of us, have a choice whether we're going, you know, which part of fear we're going to look at. So thanks for that great question.
I love that, face everything and rise. And when you accomplish facing those fears, it's great. And it's, I find it very interesting how you told the story about getting on the train and going into the city and taking on that experience all by yourself, and how you were able to face that and rise to the occasion and had that opportunity to experience something so amazing. And it resonates with me because a dear friend of mine just went through the same thing, and they can't wait to go back and do it again. And even though that's something as simple as a story in your life about going into the city and facing a fear, it's that simple in your life for your career too. Do not let fear be the one to hold you back. And one of the things that I really want to talk about is really, you know, to our listener audience, if this is something that is resonating with you, or if you have a question as it relates to this, again, give us a call at 646-716-9397 and face those fears and rise to the occasion. So face everything. What was it? Face everything and rise?
Yes. Face everything and rise.
Face everything and rise. Or post it onto our chat. We would love to hear from you. But real quick, I'd like to take a second before I turn to you, Barbara, and hear what you have to say, because I know you have some great thoughts on this topic as well. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to our audience real quick about the next couple of shows that are going to be coming up on Life Coach Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, June 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Purposeful Conversations. And then on Thursday, June 20th at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, David Benjamin Citron's Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. And from what I understand, he's got a lot of listeners who are really interested in transforming. So I think there might be some opportunities for some of our listeners to really get an idea that will follow up as well to our topic today. And then, of course, our fabulous Free Coaching Friday on Friday, June 21st, where the life coaches will be talking about bridging the generation gap. That is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and our co-host, Barbara Hetzel, will also be co-hosting on that show. As for me, the next show I will be hosting will be on June 27th, and Leanne, who was just talking, will be co-hosting with me as well on that. We have yet to decide our topic, but we love to hear from you. And if anybody wants to throw something into the chat on what they'd like to hear, or if you want, you could always send us a message to find out what it is that you want. So thank you for those couple of minutes. And Barbara, I'd like to get this right back to you on talking about this subject. How do you see in the workplace that fear and insecurity holds people back from really either making a statement to move forward to individuals, that they're afraid to speak up about certain situations because what might happen to them, what would be the repercussion, and what holds them back from trying to attain greatness within themselves?
It's so interesting, Andrea, when I think about the whole concept of fear, that fear is so personal, number one, that what I fear is not what anybody else might fear. You know, listening to Leanne's story about going into the city, I'm not afraid at all about going into New York City. I would find that pretty exciting, but because I've done it so many times, you know, it's kind of second nature. But yet, trying to climb Mount Rainier or something like that, that would be fearful for me because I don't know if I have the ability, I don't know if I have the stamina. I don't know if I have the strength. And fear is something that brings up for people all of their lacks, all the things I don't have. And I think that when you can, a way to start to turn that around, in a business environment or even in somebody's personal life, is to say, I'm not afraid of everything. So you normalize it to a certain degree. You know, fear is fear, you know, and yes, it does exist, but you're not fearful of everything. You know, just just some things. And so if you can identify what that something is, so you're afraid to approach your boss about a well-deserved raise or promotion, then make sure that you have all of your, you know, kind of like all of your materials in a row, and begin to identify, you know, what your contribution and your value is to the organization or to the company as you go in for that. I also think having a way that you can take a look at what you're most afraid of and ask yourself the question, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Because that can give an individual a lot of insight as to where they might go or what they really, where they really see their heart pulling them. And I use and I think people's hearts can be pulled in business as well as the, as well as in personal life. And I think when those opportunities exist, when you don't have to compartmentalize your life so much, this is how I am at work, this is how I am at home, or this is how I am in the office, and this is how I am with hanging out with my friends. If you're an authentic person, fear becomes less debilitating and more motivating, because it's something that you want to overcome, you want to look at, and you want to say, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? And it begins to create a different environment in which to understand what you're most afraid of and how you might want to step out of that.
I think that is great, and you hit on a topic that to me is very important. When people believe that they compartmentalize their life and they show up differently with their friends than they do at work or differently at home, I would challenge them on that. Because if someone's afraid to speak up at the workplace because they're afraid of what their boss might say to them, or they might be rejected, or they might get yelled at, or who are they to bring up that topic, what are they not doing with their friends? If they don't want to do something, do they not say anything because they don't want to stir the pot? Is it not worth it to them? Do they not want to cause any disagreements? Or at home, is it not worth the energy because you don't want to start a fight? If you take a look with how you're afraid in one area, it does show up in many others. So the question is, if you're afraid in the workplace to speak up, share your ideas, question what the supervisors or management is telling you what to do, and because you're afraid of what the reaction is going to be from them, why are you allowing yourself someplace that your values don't get to shine through? Is it something that you need to take a look at when it comes to yourself and the fears that you have within? If you had the freedom to speak up at any time in any given situation, is that where you would rather be in life? Or would you rather be afraid to talk, to raise your ideas, to be a shining star in the place that you work? And if you would rather see yourself as that shining star and someone that others see as an inspirational leader, it starts with leading yourself from the start. And when you lead from the start with yourself, that alone is inspiration to others on how you behave and others watch you. And you can make a huge difference in other people's lives. And so there's something else that it really comes down to is our third topic that I would like to talk about is what happens when someone wants to make that career change, but to them they have legitimate reasons why they cannot, such as, I don't have the right degree, and for me to go back to school, it would cost too much money, and I don't have the time to do that. In our minds, that makes things make sense of why I have to stay stuck where I am. If it's just a job and it pays the bills, how would you, Barbara, work with someone when they're really focused on what they consider outside blocks that prevent them from moving forward with changing their career or moving someplace great?
That's a great question, and I've worked with a lot of adults who are trying to that have struggled with all of this. And there's a couple of questions I ask them. I always say to them, if because money is such a huge obstacle for people to get past if they really believe that it is an obstacle to whatever it is that they're trying to achieve in their life. I often ask them, you know, what would you do if money wasn't an issue? You know, kind of almost like a little dreaming kind of a scenario. And then the other question I ask them is, so, you know, where will you be in 5 years if you don't do this? So it begins to help people to see that if they do nothing, they could potentially be in the exact same spot 5 years from now. And if it's an issue of, you know, obtaining, you know, additional training or higher education, you know, as a or a certification as a credential that's going to propel them forward, if in 5 years you still don't have that and you need that for what your dream is, why would you not invest in your dream? And I think looking at education and looking at retraining and looking at those kinds of things as investments in yourself and investments in your dreams about where you want to be can really help to shift people that are struggling with the money obstacle, with the financial obstacle. So I think anytime you can encourage somebody to, you know, look beyond the present, because it's the present and the immediate that's stopping them, helping them look, say, okay, so 5 years from now, you could either, you know, you could enroll tomorrow in a college program, and 5 years from now, you'd be done. And what would that do for you? You know, or you could not do it, and 5 years from now, you'll still be in the same boat, you know, or you could enroll in that training program, or you could, you know, get that certification, or you could, you know, try out a completely new career that maybe doesn't even take any kind of academic study or work experience. And you could either 5 years from now, you could either be doing it or not doing it. You know, what do you really want? And I think it kind of starts to bring it down to the most basic level is, what is it that you really want? Do you want to keep throwing up roadblocks in your life, or do you really want to go for this dream or this desire, this, you know, new career, this new organization that you've been dying to work for, whatever it is? You're going to be there in 5 years, you're not. You can keep throwing roadblocks up, and if you keep doing that, well, then you're not going to get there. You're not going to get where you say you want to get to. So you have a choice to make. But I guess it all comes back to choice again.
And I think that's great. One of the things that you mentioned about the invest in yourself, you have to be the first person to do it, because if others see your confidence and you're willing, they'll invest in you as well. And the other thing that I want to make sure that we make a point is where you talk about money as the obstacle. I want to touch upon when people say, I'm used to a certain lifestyle, and if I have to change jobs, I have to start from the beginning again, and I'm not going to be making as much money as I am now. How would you respond to that?
Well, I guess I would say, well, then I guess it really depends on what's most important to you. Is, you know, you say you're, you know, in probably in that scenario, you know, they're not happy with where they are. You know, so what's more important to you? You know, being happy and really, you know, thriving at something that you really, really like to do, or continuing to be miserable and taking home a bigger paycheck? You know, you weigh those, you know, the individual has to weigh that out for themselves. You know, what is going to be more important? And if you really, you know, if you want to follow your dream, what are you willing to give up? Or what are you willing to set aside or shift or change in order for you to have your dream? And if there's not a lot of willingness to shift or change or to let go of something that's no longer serving them on their way to their dream, then is that really the dream? Is that really a true dream for them? Or are they just trying to trying to find out what that dream is, and they just aren't quite there yet. And so then that would just unleash a whole other set of reflection for the individual in terms of what is it that you really want. And
right. Would you rather wake up? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Exactly. You know, yeah, like you were talking about earlier, Andrew. Would you rather wake up on Monday morning and say, "Oh no, Monday," you know, pull the covers over your head, or wake up on Monday morning and say, "God, I can't wait to get going today because I really love what I do."
Exactly. Leanne, I'm sure you have so many experiences that you're thinking about as we talk about this situation. What would you help someone go through when they're talking about it? Right now, we have someone on, probably listening in right now, that is saying, it's so much easier said than done. You have no idea about what it's like. I have children. I have college to pay for. I have all these bills. I have a mortgage. And with all of that coming, what do you say to someone about making that leap of faith?
Right, great question. You know, I've always coined the phrase, if you always do what you always have done, you will always be where you always are.
Mm.
And so if you really want to move forward, you do have to make some changes. And just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. And so taking a big, vast kind of meta view look at what your options are is very empowering. Oftentimes, again, we go back to that choice that we've all mentioned before. People do not realize that they have a choice in life about the different ways that they spend their time, their treasures, and their talents. And so oftentimes what I ask people is, you know, ultimately, if you could do any job or have any career or realize any goal, what would that look like? And we reach for a pie in the sky on this one, Andrea. You know, I'm wanting them to dream big, think big. Oftentimes we go through life thinking very, very small. And when the opportunities that are right before us, you know, we live in a very free nation, those of us in the U.S., and the opportunities before us are there. There is funding and money available to people who do want to make career changes. There are people who are willing to invest in others, who are wanting to better themselves and bring something new into this world that they really have a vision and a passion for. So just that fact of realizing that they do have choice and that there are options out there. And so the other question that I pose to a lot of folks is, my goodness, what is the worst thing that will happen if you try and do something new? And then I can ask them, what is the worst thing that will happen if you don't try and do something new? Mm-hmm. And then I pose the question, what is the best thing that will happen if you try to do something new? And then what is the best thing that will happen if you don't try and explore something new? And oftentimes those questions give them voice, where perhaps that voice has been taken away from them or they've given it away in the past. And I love that because those questions are extremely thought-provoking. And what I have found is we all love to be challenged at different levels, and realizing what your comfort level is for your challenge is something that I love to do with the people that I work with. And I kind of have a little process that I go with them and journey on that road of discovery for each individual and where they want to go.
Leanne, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to repeat those four questions, and I want you to repeat them slowly because I guarantee our listeners just went, huh, that's probably a great way to think about every situation. So please do me a favor and repeat those four questions nice and slowly.
Absolutely, I would be happy to. So question number one is, what is the worst thing that can happen if I make this change in my life? Question number two, what is the best thing that will happen if I make this change in my life? Question three, what is the worst thing that will happen if I don't make a change in my life? And what is the best thing that will happen if I do make this change in my life? And I sure hope I got those right, because I'm not looking at any notes. I'm speaking from my heart here. So if, yeah, please chime in and let me know if I repeated myself on those four, will you, ladies?
You absolutely did. And I think those are great. Those are probably the most powerful four questions an individual can ask themselves when they start to think, I can make a change, and then say, there's no way. Whenever someone is first thought in their mind is to talk themselves out of an incredible potential experience, to ask themselves those four questions would really help them get a good picture. And it's not like creating that list that says the reasons why to do it or the reasons not to do it, but if you put it in the four sections of how great would it be, what's the worst that can happen, what would happen if I didn't do it, and what would be the greatest thing that would happen if I didn't do it, and see the true balance, not just a yay or nay type of list. You get a full balance of understanding the good side of it, the bad side of doing something, the not-so-good side of not doing something, and the good side of not doing something. So it's just really gives everybody that opportunity. And I'm really shocked to say that we are into our last 10 minutes, and so I want to be able to wrap this up. And Barbara, could you give us some final thoughts on all three areas that we talked about? And to you, what are the things you want our audience to leave thinking about as they're saying, I just can't do it, and you don't understand? What would help them make that decision to move forward and get unstuck?
I think one of the things that's going through my mind right now is that, no one is an island, that there is, find someone in your life that, you know, it could be a parent, it could be, you know, an adult child, it could be a spouse, a partner, a trusted colleague, a clergy person, the next-door neighbor. Find someone in your life that is in your court with you, that you can talk to and share what your dream might be, so that you begin to build your champions around you, because none of us are going to do anything on our own. No matter how motivated we are, we have to, you know, we're part of I just believe that we're part of a larger community, whatever that community is for each person. And then really be honest with yourself, you know, step back and, you know, I like to say, you know, we've all heard the saying, you know, take a long, hard look at your life. I like to say, take a long, loving look at your life. What is it that, who are you? What is it that you really want? And be really honest with yourself and begin to understand what your value is, as you understand it for yourself, and what is it that you think you can offer to the world? What is your calling? What is your purpose? And how do you want to live that out or not live that out? You know, because everything is, you know, there's two sides to everything. So I guess those would kind of be my parting words to somebody who says, I just can't do it. I would say, you know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, and if our audience is interested in working with you through Ridge Top Coaching, how could they reach you?
Sure. You can reach me through my website, which is www.ridgetopcoaching, that's RIDGETOP coaching.com. I'm also on Facebook, you know, Facebook Ridge Top Coaching, and my email is info@ridgetopcoaching, and those would be great ways to reach out to me and contact me, and I would welcome any conversation that anyone would want to have.
Great. Thank you so very much. And Leanne, what are your closing thoughts besides those awesome four questions that you left? What else do you want people to think about that they should capture from our phone call today that you believe is going to help them move from being fearful or insecure and is going to take them to that next level in their career life.
Absolutely. And just, you know, totally echoing everything that Barbara shared as well, just some great thoughts there. I think it's really important for each one of us to count the cost, you know, whether it be financial, emotional, spiritual, physical cost of making some changes. And then I really am a strong believer in putting together a power team in your life. You know, getting together, surrounding yourself with people who will encourage, embrace, and challenge you as you want to make this next step forward. You want to challenge also the language that you're using. I loved it how you asked me about the new nester. You know, Andrea, that's one of those important things, that the words that we choose to use really do affect our vision and our view of what's right in front of us. And so if we can change our language from I have to make a career change to I can make a career change, or I want to make a career change, or perhaps it's a change in your relationships, it's a change in your spirituality, it's a change in anything like that, that we can just really realize that we can do those things. And oftentimes it's changing the way we speak about them is very, very important. And the other opportunity that we have is call a coach. Call a coach. Mm-hmm. We have amazing tools and resources that we can bring to the table with you that you have never even imagined experiencing before. And it's a real privilege for those of us as coaches to stand shoulder to shoulder, to walk beside those who really do want to impact this world and impact their own lives and those that they love. So thank you.
And if people are very interested on trying to figure out what their values are, to evaluate them, rate them, and rank them, how would they get in touch with you as the person that's going to make them walk the talk and see them through to the end?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. They can reach me on my website, and that's www.walkyourtalkwithleanne.com. Also, I can be reached on Facebook. And you can go to my personal page. It's Leanne Parsons. Also, I have a coaching site, and it is La Dolce Vita Coaching on Facebook. I am also on Twitter, Leanne the Coach, and just recently on LinkedIn. So you can also find me there as well. My quick and responsive email address is thewalkyourtalkcoach@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you both for all your wealth of knowledge that you shared with us today on this episode of Life Coach Radio. The one thing that I would like to make in closing is just the thought of how fear prevents you and how do you react to it. Would you rather react and then talk yourself out of every opportunity you face in life? Or would you rather respond and see what could you learn from the opportunities that you face? Would you rather go and try something? And if it doesn't succeed, would you rather be able to look back and say, hey, at least I made the effort? Or would you rather look back and say, man, I wish I should have tried? Would you rather wake up every morning hitting the snooze button and wishing you could have just 10 more minutes and being fearful of the meetings that are coming up for the day, or how your boss is going to react, or what it's going to be working with that individual sitting next to you? Or would you rather wake up going, this was the best decision of my life. If I hadn't done this, what my life could have looked like now? I am so glad I smile. I feel healthy. I feel good. I enjoy the people that I work with, those that are around me, the networks I'm involved in. Remember, as Barbara said, it comes down to a choice. You get to choose how you are in every situation that you're at. So if you ever want to get in touch with me, Andrea Ruckelman, your lead host of today, I am the owner of New Perspectives Communication. That's Perspectives with an S and Communication without it. You could reach me at Andrea@newperspectivescommunication.com. That is my website of www.newperspectivescommunication.com. You could follow me on Facebook, guess what? Same company, New Perspectives Communication. If you're also interested in following me on Twitter, I have a handle called @HowYouSayIt, because I believe it is the most important thing on how we all say what we have to say. It's not a matter of what you say, but how the words come out of your mouth, whether it to be to yourself or to others around you. So in closing, I'd like to thank both of our co-hosts, Barbara and Leanne, and thank everybody for listening to our show. We hope you enjoyed the past hour and you found it engaging, enlightening, and are now focused on a path to getting where you want to be. Life is too short and you only get one shot at it. Make sure you're enjoying all of it in your time and your experiences in it. Again, I'm Andrea Ruckelman, and I look forward to talking with everybody on June 27th. Have a wonderful rest of your day.